My heart is really glad this morning that the Spirit is among us, and I just marvel knowing what I'm about to read to you and with you, that this service has already filled with the glory of God, and so I want to publicly thank him for that. Would you turn with me in this for this scripture reading in Psalm 46? It's in your Sanctuary Bible on page 559. We want to encourage you, as always, if you don't own a Bible, don't have one at home, to take the one that you see in front of you and to make it a part of your life. It is God's word to you, God's love letter to you, and it's good all week long, so feel free to take it. Now hear the word of God from the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Hallelujah.
I wanted to begin this morning by reading some recent headlines from the last 3 or 4 days. Plane terror plot disrupted. Plotters were to carry a quote-unquote British version of Gatorade, detonate it with iPod or cell phone, sources say. New bomb ingredients, hair gel, and baby bottles. The strongest typhoon in 50 years hits China. A reminder that we're at war. 21 suspects held, U.S.-bound flights targeted with liquid explosives in luggage. 2 men held on terror charges in Ohio. 2 teens admit to school shooting plot in New Jersey. An Ohio minister and wife are busted on kiddie porn charges. Typhoon kills 104 in China. Israel expands offensive. UN peace deal on table. Death toll nears 1,000 on 32nd day of conflict. Indonesia delays execution of Christian militiamen. Intercepted Pakistani call foiled British terror plot. 190 missing in China after typhoon. Cleanup begins. Oh, and as things weren't bad enough, the BP pipeline that broke, the fix, is going to cost $170 million. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read things like that and when I get exposed to all the noise that's going on around me, there's a certain way that I like to respond. Ah! And if that doesn't work, I'll do this. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You're not there. It's not happening. Or there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Do you ever find that you want to respond to life like that? That you just want to give up? That you want to be able to tune out? That you want to be able to act like a child and not deal with the reality of what's going on? But the reality is that life can be unreasonably fearful. That it can be unreasonably difficult. That it can be and is unreasonably harsh. And even regarding events that are thousands of miles away from us, that kind of fear and difficulty and harshness is there. It is especially there in life when the fear and the difficulty and the harshness of life is in our own homes, or it's affecting those that we love. You know, the person who wrote Psalm 46 understands exactly that fear, difficulty, and the harsh realities inherent in life itself do not provide the smooth path we may have perfectly planned out. There are pits, there are cliffs, there are deep valleys, and there are dark, dark caves that some of us are going to have to walk through. Life is not a field of roses that have no thorns. You wade through it, you're going to get scratched. Life is not a bed of a feather bed that with quills that don't puncture. When you lay down to rest, you're going to get hit. So what do we do? How do we respond to what life brings without walking around all day screaming into pillows and stuffing our fingers in our ears and clicking our heels together in a vain hope that we're going to magically change this situation? When you are in this state of life, my friends, where fear, difficulty, and harsh realities want to overtake you, and the truth is, at some point in your life, it's going to want to overtake you, I want you to remember Psalm 46. When we look at verse 1, that is the setting of the stage that the psalmist is going to base all of his comments around. And he declares confidently a promise, saying, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. In Psalm 46, there is a clear call to see God in the fear, difficulty, and harsh realities of life. There are three calls that the psalmist gives to us. The first is a call to trust God in the face of fear, because God is your refuge. The second is to hope in God's presence and the presence of his people, because God and his people's presence are your strength. And the third is a call to change direction when the harsh realities of life are before you, because God is an ever-present help in trouble. And this morning we're going to take a look at Psalm 46. And if you haven't turned there already, I invite you to do so. I believe that's on page 559 in your sanctuary Bible. Psalm 46. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, it is true that life surrounds us with fear and with difficulty and with harshness. And Father, we desire to be able to respond in a way that will bring you glory, but is also a way, Father, in which we are able to preach the gospel to those that are around us. Help us, Father, as we work through this psalm, work through what you are saying to us, to apply these principles to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first call that the psalmist provides is a call to trust God in the face of fear, because God is our refuge. Now, refuge is a word that's used throughout the Bible. It is used very often in the Psalms themselves as a way to describe the character of God. It is described with relation to God as a place of help or as a place of relief. The Psalms tell us that God is a refuge for the oppressed. God offers help to people. God is a shield for all those who take refuge in them, that God will protect people. We are also told that those who take refuge in God are blessed for doing so. So for the author of Psalm 46, seeing God as our refuge is to see God as someone who can be trusted in the face of fear, or when the order that you have tried to establish in your life is gone and is unraveling before you. Look at verses 2 and 3 of this psalm. We have a very fearful scene being described here. The environmentalists have nothing in terms of what's being described here. Listen to these words. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The picture here may not seem dire, but what the psalmist is doing is, in using this language, is painting a picture of the creation literally being unmade. What God spoke into existence, what has come into existence in great order and in great power, is crumbling apart. Mountains do not rise out of the solid earth anymore, but they are cast back into the sea. the seas and oceans forget the boundaries that they have been giving of shorelines and riverbanks, and they flood chaotically over the earth once again. The land is no longer a stable place in which we can stand, as it is rocked by earthquakes of unimaginable magnitude. That is what is being described here. The world as we know it is being undone. And to say that this would produce fear is an understatement at best. The very fabric of the universe, the psalmist states, is unraveling. And isn't that exactly what it feels like when our lives begin to fall apart? When they begin to spin out of control, when it seems that all the plans that we are making are being crushed under their own weight, when the events that we find ourselves living through appear to be far beyond what we ever believed we could really handle. Yet it is within this kind of life, it is within this scenario of everything falling apart, that the psalmist insists, though all around you is crumbling, though life as you know it is unraveling, do not fear. God is your refuge. Friends, perhaps the fear shaking your world this morning is the impending loss of a job, or the fear that you're not going to get the job that you've been interviewing for. Do not fear. The scripture says God is your refuge. He will provide for you. Maybe it's the fear of contracting a terminal illness or an epidemic sickness, or of hearing a diagnosis given on your child that you just wish wasn't true. Do not fear. God is your refuge. He will surround you. Perhaps your world is falling apart because of the destructive behaviors of a family member. Do not fear. The scriptures tell us that God will bless those who trust in him as their refuge. God is our refuge. It's a very difficult thing for us to be able to look into the face of fear and say those words and turn aside and not give in to them. And yet that is what we are being called to do. A radical type of trust that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he's going to do. The first call of the psalmist is to trust God in the face of overwhelming fear, because God is our refuge. But for those who are in Christ, those who have been adopted into God's family, who are his sons and his daughters, those who are Christians, the promise of God's presence in our lives is a second significant aspect of the response that we can have when life seems unreasonably fearful, difficult, and harsh. So the psalmist gives us a second call. And this is a call to hope in God's presence and his people during difficulty, because God and God's people are our strength. Now, in the psalm here, following this horrific picture that we see in verses 2 and 3 of the destruction of the earth and how great fear can arise from that, that picture is juxtaposed with a picture of tranquil calm and order as God's presence is being made known. Look at verse 4. The scripture says, "There is a river whose streams..." See there again, now we're talking about something that has found its boundaries. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." As I read those verses, I find that the difference between the fear of verses 2 and 3 and the tranquility of verses 4 through 6 is one word: presence. Hope during difficulty comes because God is present with us. Order is restored. The earth's foundations are brought back into their boundaries. A great promise is revealed. God is present on the earth. But you know, the psalmist says even more than that. He says not only is God present on the earth, God is present among his people. And if you've been around this church for any length of time, excuse me, you've heard me say this many times before. None of us are an island. We may like to think that we have it all together. We may like to think that we are all the resource that we are ever going to need. But the Bible is quite clear that you need others. I need others. I need you. And you need me. And especially when there is difficulty that we are going through in our lives. You see, fencing yourself off from God and his people is a sure way to see fear and difficulty take over. We all need each other. And when you are facing difficulty in your life, when you are perhaps not facing difficulty in your life, things are going well, others are going to need you to help them through the difficulty in theirs. Do you know what we call people who have God's presence in their life? Do you know what we call them? Christians. Do you know what we call a group of people that have God's presence in their life? The church. You, my friends, you, my family, are the presence of God to me. And I am the presence of God to you. Together, we become the presence of God to this community outside of us that God desperately wants them to see. Strength is not in the individual, although individuals are important. But in God's economy, strength comes from community. And it comes in being united to one another through the bond of faith in Christ, as well as in a commitment to love each other. That is where our strength comes. And when difficulty comes, we're able to rely upon one another. That's what the scripture is calling us to do, to rely upon one another, to help each other through times of difficulty, to not allow fear to take over, because we're reminding each other, God is your refuge. God will stand by you. And I will too. At Grace, this community of believers happens as you engage in Sunday morning worship services. You are engaging in community right now. But it also happens as we engage in small groups and as we engage in adult Sunday school classes. Because those are areas in which you as the individual can come together in a smaller community and you can be cared for by others and you can care for others. You can study the scripture together. You can serve the community together. There's all kinds of things that you can do when we come into those smaller communities. And there's going to be a lot of information coming out in the next few weeks as we get ready to start our small groups back up and as we get ready to start the adult Sunday school classes back up. I encourage you to come out to the ministry fair on September 10th and find out about this stuff. And I strongly encourage you to get involved in one of them. Whether it be a small group or it be an adult Sunday school class, get involved. Become a part of those communities. Because it is within those communities that you will find strength. The first call is to trust God in the face of fear. He is our refuge. The second call is to hope in God's presence and the presence of his people during difficulty, for this is our strength. Well, the third call is a little bit unique from the first two. We might be tempted to look at these first two calls and say, God is kind of a passive player in these. They're calls for us to engage. We are the ones who have to engage in changing our thoughts that God is our refuge. We are the ones that engage in community and become a part of community. And we might say, well, God's being a little passive in that. Well, he's not passive anymore. Because in this third call that the psalmist gives us, we find that God speaks for himself and offers a direct intervention into the situations we can find ourselves in. The third call given by the psalmist is a call to stop what we are doing and make a change when the harsh realities of life are before us. Why? Because God is an ever-present source of help or ever-present help in trouble. Leading up to God's intervention here, the psalmist describes scenes of war and the chaos of war and God's power to break through the impending destruction. Look at verse 8. The psalmist writes this, "Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." I don't know about you, but I find that to be a very appropriate image for the days that we have been living through. Like it or not, agree with it or not, war is an ever-present and always tragic result of sin's rule on this earth. And we can easily get caught up in seeing the destruction and the waste of life and the utter depravity of man and find only fear, find complete hopelessness of God's presence being anywhere on this world, and find only harsh realities of life staring us back in the face. And the psalmist says, when life is going wrong, when life is falling apart, when it seems both figuratively and literally that there are forces rising up and warring against you, stop what you have been doing and the ways you have been responding to life, because change is needed. God speaks for himself in this psalm. In verse 10, he says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And the psalmist responding back, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." You know, before I had kids, when I would read this particular verse, I used to think that God was speaking sweet, soft, comforting words to his people. But having kids, I don't think that anymore. Because I think the picture of God's words here is much more like when I have to pull my boys off of each other. Right? So I'll be sitting in our living room. In our house, we've got a little den down below, and which is the playroom. And all the toys are down there, and the boys can have at it. And they do. And every once in a while, you know, is probably in our house, meaning every couple of minutes. We will hear the boys are playing with something. And typically it starts like this. "Josiah, I'm asking you to put that block down." No response. "Josiah, please put the block down." And the level gets a little bit louder. "Josiah, don't stand up. Please don't kick over my..." And I can just see it. Josiah is looking at his brother and saying, "And the tower's over." Well, at that point, it begins to escalate even more, because now Ben is yelling at full volume and Josiah is beginning to yell at full volume and they're going at it, and then Cindy looks over at me, and so I know what I have to do. And I have to get up and I have to go down into the den, and I take one in one arm and I take one in the other arm and I say, "Stop it! Knock it off! Be still." See, Ben's laughing because he knows this is exactly what it's like. "Be still." And usually that is enough for the two of them to go silent, because they've realized Daddy's serious now. And then we have the opportunity to have a discussion. As a matter of fact, actually it's not a discussion. I mandate what the change is going to be. And I think that it is exactly that God is wanting to communicate to us as he speaks in this psalm. You see, when life is barreling down on you, when life is ripping apart at the seams, when life is not going as planned, is not turning out the way that you had hoped and dreamed for, and you are finding yourself growing in fear, isolating yourself from community, when you find yourself screaming into pillows and plugging your ears and clicking your heels together, hoping that you're going to be able to change this, God says, "Stop it. Knock it off. Give me your attention. Cease striving to do what you want to do. Be still. I am God." And I don't know about you, but in the few times that I have had this happen to me, when God has had to speak like that to me, there is a nanosecond of clarity, and I'm ready for the change. And when that happens to us, we are ready to realize that God is indeed in control, that God is indeed who he says he is, and will do what he says he will do. That God is our ever-present help in trouble, ready to move at a moment's notice and give us change. The writer of Psalm 46 is calling us to a radical kind of trust in our lives. To trust in the face of fear, to trust in the face of difficulty, to trust in the face of harsh realities. And how can we respond to the noise of life, to that fear, to that difficulty, and to that harsh reality? We trust God in the face of fear because God is our refuge. When difficulty comes, we cling to the hope that God is in our midst, that God's people are, that God's people together bring his presence, because God's presence and the presence of his people is our strength. And when the harsh reality of life begins to overwhelm, be still, stop what you are doing, make a change, listen to what he is saying, and know that God is God, that he is an ever-present help, that he will always be ready to come to you in trouble. Let's pray. Father, as I look out this morning over your people, there's probably 150 of us or so here, and more than likely there are 150 different fears and 150 different ways to define difficulty that they may be going through right now. 150 different ways to define what the harsh reality of life is that they are staring at. And Father, I pray for your peace to be made known. I pray, Father, for your word to speak clearly to these people. And I pray, Father, that they would see you as their refuge, that they would know your presence, and Father, that they would trust you to be who you say you are. That is so hard for us to do, God. It's so hard for us to be able to look beyond the moment, to look beyond what truly is fearful, what is deserving of fear, what truly is difficult, what truly is a very harsh and bitter reality, and to see beyond that for even a moment that you are going to stand with us, that you are our refuge, that you are our strength, that you are our ever-present help. Father, help us to be people that will cling to the promises and the truth of your word, and that will exercise these principles in our lives, that we may be able to be a witness to others. We pray this in Jesus' name.